light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This Thursday is for the Miller's Edge, high 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts Support Experts. Hope everybody's doing well. Not only that, hope you guys are warm. It's cold outside, man. Maybe I'm getting soft, Chase. I don't know. But it's cold to me. It's cold to me. Every day I like, you know, walking my dog, take him to a park, kind of get his exercise, and it's important for him and myself. But this weather, man, it's been cold, wet, rainy, and it's just not been great. But hopefully you guys are staying warm. But hey, still a blessing to wake up every morning, get the luxury of going outside. So never going to complain about that. And I see some folks in the chat saying they're supposed to get some snow where they're at. Hopefully that's not the case here, because I could probably do without the snow right now. But I guess it's cool every once in a wild chase to get some snow. You spent time in Louisiana growing up, some time in California, Mississippi. Chase, have you? I mean, you're probably like me. You probably can count on one hand how many times you've seen snow. Is that right?
You got it down to a T.
Yeah, yeah. So we're not used to it down here. And people already can't really drive great. So that makes it even more of a challenge for
man.
Some of the folks that are a little, I don't know, driving challenged, who knows. But dang, a lot of people in the chat are mentioning snow. I know we got the D'Agostino family. I definitely said it wrong this time, but I always get it right. The D'Agostino family in New York, right? Mike and Jake and company. I know they're up there. So that means the snow is the norm for them. But for us, not very common at all. But it seems like there's other folks in the chat that I think are from like the Georgia areas and other places. And they're mentioning snow too. So it must be a cold front or something. Who knows? I'll save all that for James Spann. But what I will do is I'm going to cover some football, and I won't be doing it alone. We'll be joined by our friend Slade Bolden here at 11:30 again. We're going to be talking about this Georgia matchup. Speaking of ATL in Georgia, we will be talking about it. Slade will join us here in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to dive into that conversation. A lot of talk on this game, not only for the excitement of the SEC championship, but Chase, in some, you know, some upsetting news, the injury report. Right. A lot of people are a little concerned seeing the latest injury report that did come out last night. Now, I'm sure you guys have already seen this. It's not breaking news, but there is a name that popped up on there, Chase, that many people were shocked when they saw it. And not only was it on the report, but it was on the out. LT Overton, who we actually listened to yesterday. We listened to him post practice talk about a number of things. Auburn game, you know, he previewed the Georgia game. And then what really hurts is one of the final things he said on the interview was, you know, growing up watching the SEC championship game, you know, he'd always watched it from afar. And now he was just, you know, so excited for the opportunity to actually play in it. And then to hear that news, man, definitely is very, it's disappointing, man, for him, right? Not from like a fan perspective. I mean, obviously we know the loss it is, but it's disappointing, very sad knowing how excited he was. And we know how passionate he is. I mean, you listen to him in the interviews, man, this dude loves football and loves the opportunity to go out there and play this game. Well, hated to hear that news. However, we all know how this thing goes, right? It's the next man up mentality. We'll talk about who that next man up or next men, right? In my opinion, it'll be next men up to take the place of LT Overton in this game. But there's also some other guys. One interesting thing, Chase, though, that I noted, you don't see Parker Brailsford on this injury report. I think that's probably, if I'm just being completely honest, I feel like it could be a little bit of a, not necessarily a deception move, but listen, there's no way he went from how he looked, as hobbled as he looked in the Iron Bowl, to not having any type of ailment going into this game. again, I know people are going to be mad I'm saying that, but I'm just being honest with you. If I had to guess, he's still banged up as well. And the only reason I'm saying that is because the injuries are piling up for us. Not only us, you look at the Georgia side of things, they've definitely been dealt a pretty rough hand when it comes to injuries as well. But I didn't see Parker Brailsford on here, and the reason I was shocked is just because, you know, how he looked against Auburn. I just can't imagine he healed up that quick. I do expect him, since he's definitely not on here, to be back out there, because he went out there and was a go for the Iron Bowl. But I don't think he's near 100%. The good news is when Vandermark came in, you know, he did his thing. And if we do need that to be the case again, we feel fine. But I'm just going to be honest with you, and I don't have any groundbreaking news, or this is not official, but some of the guys in the questionable category, Quavis and Jam specifically, I'm not very confident that those guys are going to be rolling Saturday. In fact, I'd probably lean that they're probably going to be in that out category come Saturday. Maybe a game time decision, but from my perspective, I would not really expect those guys to be a go. Not saying they can't, but if I had to say right now, I wouldn't really expect those guys out there. But we'll talk about who can fill in those spots, and we'll talk about this game as a whole. Again, Slade Bolden will be joining us at 11:30, so we'll do that with him. Plus, a couple other things we definitely want to talk about. Signing day was yesterday, Chase. A lot of people excited about it. I need to go back and see exactly where Alabama finished, to, you know, depending on what site and service. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but now that it's pretty much concluded. Again, early signing day, there also is another one still. Can't forget about that. But talking about signing day, there was one thing that I did find really interesting, and it was a video clip. I think T had posted it, but Dwight had tagged us in it. Basically, it was Bob Welton, who I know extremely well. He was here when I was here. He's in charge of a lot of recruiting stuff, player development side of things, all that stuff, director of personnel, all that. And Courtney Morgan, they were joined by Robin Harper and Chris Stewart, who were hosting the signing day show. But they had a conversation. It was about a four-minute conversation or so, at least this clip was, of them really detailing, you know, the ins and outs of what recruiting looks like nowadays. And I thought it was really, well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I understand how it works just because I, you know, I talked to a bunch of people, you know, involved in it. The way they explained it, I think, basically summarized exactly, you know, like in great detail, you know, how the experience is nowadays. Totally different. So for a lot of people that just kind of thought, oh, you know, recruiting is recruiting. No, I mean, they go into detail about, you know, roster retention and having different budgets, you know, for roster retention, for transfer portal, for high school guys, and how that affects and impacts other various things. And when one thing doesn't go one way, it's not so much as a bad thing like as it used to be, because you then can pour into another. It was just a really good conversation. So we'll definitely listen to that. And I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on that as well. Plus, something else real quick before we hit this timeout, Chase, came up that I saw that I thought was very interesting. And it wasn't the first time I've heard of something like this, but it definitely was very, very interesting to see it then. Vanderbilt, Chase, allegedly, I don't know if you saw his report, had explored the idea of hosting a final game, an extra game. I shouldn't say a final, an extra football game, in hopes of somehow convincing the committee that they deserve a spot in the college football playoff. Obviously, it did not come to fruition, but they did explore the possibility of playing an exempt 13th game this weekend as a way to hopefully give them one final chance to showcase that they deserve a spot. It didn't happen, but I'm just curious what you guys think about that. I mean, first they're fighting to get their quarterback. I mean, 8 years of eligibility. Now they're trying to play a 13th game. I mean, these guys, I respect the hustle, man. I respect it. And I hate it that a team like that is more than likely left out, but hey, I respect the hustle. We can talk a little bit about that as well. So all of that and more will be coming up. But first, we got to hit the timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts.
At Chow's Country Buffet. And don't forget to save room for their delicious desserts. Happy holidays, and thank you for choosing them. Visit Chow's at 1100 Skyland Boulevard.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so we got a couple minutes. Slay will be on here in about 5-6 minutes or so. So until then, we'll chop up a couple things. I want to listen to that recruiting video, but the video itself is like 4 minutes, so we wouldn't have a chance to respond. And once we talk to Slade, that's probably going to be 20, 30 minutes or so. Then we'll have to circle back. So I'm going to save the recruiting piece for a minute, but I kind of want to piggyback kind of off the conversation we talked about with Vanderbilt, because it kind of ties in to the whole college football playoff deal, which we talked at great length with Gray Robertson yesterday, my partner on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, about that whole deal, right? And this just was surprising to me because, number one, I wasn't sure how this would happen. And again, what I'm referring to is there's a report from Pete Thamel, who is very reputable. And it basically states that, again, number 14 Vanderbilt, a bubble team, a two-loss SEC team who's had a heck of a season, especially given their history, right? We're talking about Vanderbilt here. I mean, we know what they did last year, and that was great. But for them to come back and do it again and more, personally, I feel bad for these guys, especially, you know, talking with Gray, and there's a chance you see a JMU or a Duke team in there. And I know the reason we designed the playoffs like this was to get opportunities for those types of teams. But I'm also looking at a team like Vanderbilt, who I know, we played them. They're a decent football team. I mean, I don't know how much better they would be in the playoffs than a team like JMU. I don't know too much about JMU, but I would much rather see a team led by this guy, who some people find him annoying. I'll be honest with you. Some might find him a little entertaining. I know it's a little extra, but it makes for some type of entertainment factor, right, at the end of the day. That said, allegedly Vanderbilt explored the possibility of playing an exempt 13th game this weekend to give them one final showcase. It says there was interest from the team, university officials, the athletic department, and coaching staff. Ultimately, the operational and legislative requirements, along with last-minute scheduling constraints, could not support the game. Makes you wonder. I mean, number one, who would they have played? Because personally, I feel like if you're going to try to go showcase something to prove a point, I feel like it has to be a worthy opponent, right? What good would it do you go play some, you know, a group of four opponent or somebody beat up on somebody? That's not going to get anything done. So who would they have tried to schedule a game with? Like, who would be willing to accept that? You know what I mean, Chase? Like, to me, I just can't really think in my head, like, what team, maybe who, Miami, maybe, since they're also a bubble team. That it sounds like they're kind of thinking along the lines of some of the things that we were talking about recently about, like, some of these playing games. Like, I mean, don't they do that like the NBA? They have these like playing games, right, for these teams that are trying to get a spot. I mean, maybe you come up with something like that. But I feel like at the end of the day, we're just going to naturally just keep expanding. And at some point, you kind of got to draw a line. So even though I feel bad for a team like a Vanderbilt or a Texas, I mean, poor Digger, man. Digger called in at the end of the show. And I mean, you could just hear the sadness, right, the disappointment in the tone of voice that he had calling. You know, normally Digger's a little bit more upbeat, man. You could hear it, man. And he was hurt. And I get it. And look, they schedule Ohio State to start the season. However, I got to roll with Jackson on the side of the argument where it's easy to focus on Ohio State. And yes, if you would have scheduled a cupcake game, you could have lost to Florida and been okay more than likely. Maybe. I don't know, though, because these other teams that are two lost teams, they still aren't in there. But you got to be accountable. I mean, you also lost to a Florida team that wasn't a good football team. And I know he started bringing up the Florida State thing and whatnot. And I hear him, but at the end of the day, they have three losses and we have two losses. And if you guys are wondering why I'm comparing those, we had a call at the end of the show, Digger, who is a known Texas fan, but he calls shows on this station. I like Digger, man. At first, he definitely kind of was, you know, a little much, but then he came around and, yeah, he's okay with me. But anyway, look, three loss team, two loss team, it's pretty easy there. I see you guys in the chat. You guys are agreeing that maybe a playing game or some type of deal like that wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, at this point, why not? I mean, I think it ups the competition. I mean, I'm not necessarily trying to add more games because I know how brutal football games are, college or pro, and it's a lot on players, but I hate to sound like this or be that guy, Chase, but especially when you're hearing the numbers they're laughing about yesterday during the recruiting show, I mean, hell, brother, I mean, y'all might have to play another game or two. I mean, listen, the people are getting paid pretty handsomely, man. They're kind of joking around about it, but there's some bread going around the table. So if you got to play extra game, I think they'll be just okay with some of the things that they're able to get nowadays when it comes to NIL. Let's hit a quick timeout to stay on schedule. We got Slade scheduled to hop on here shortly, so when he does that, we'll talk with him. Definitely talk a lot about this Alabama SEC championship game. If you guys have any questions regarding that, definitely let us know. We brought up some tape last time, and I know you guys really enjoyed that. We broke down a couple plays from the Auburn game. Really might have just been one. If you guys want us to do that, we can, whether it's either Georgia or us. But I have to see what games we have for Georgia, because I was trying to get the Georgia Tech game. I didn't see it last time, but maybe it's on there. We'll check it out. But we'd love to dive into some tape, too. So all that coming up next here on the Miller's Edge, Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Art Sport Experts, quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Real, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Are joined by, and we'll call Slade. Slade's like a co-host at this point. He's in and out now, but we're getting on, get him on. We're being greedy, man. We're taking his time, his free time during the day to get him to talk some football. But you guys love it, and I think he enjoys it. But Slade, welcome in, man. Good having you back on here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's nice to be had. No, trust me. I definitely enjoy it because I had to put out some fires all morning, and it's nice to get away from the office and take a little break, and you know, instead of talking renewals, open enrollment, insurance, you know, all the boring fun stuff that goes with that. It's nice to get on here and talk a little football. It takes your mind off things because, you know, at the end of the day, that's my first true love. So we always like talking about our first true love.
that's true. That's true. Slade, we got the SEC championship game this weekend, something we're both familiar with. I played in four of them out of 5 years. How many did you play in? And wait, were you here? No, you left early, 4 years.
Yeah, so I played – well, I didn't really play in 2018, the one where Jalen came in, had that game-winning drive and scored. I was happy. I was very happy, trust me. I was more worried about what we were doing after that game. That's what I was excited about. I was just hanging out on the side. Did my part, listen, though. I was cheering on the guys that were making it happen. But, yeah, you know, 2019, we missed it because we lost to Auburn, unfortunately, at Jordan-Hare. And then 2020, I played in that game, started, played Florida, shootout game. They had a really great offense. And then 2021, of course, played Georgia again. So played Georgia twice, played Florida once. And, you know, obviously, I still remember the 2021 situation where we beat up on Auburn and then took the L in the national championship. But that's what happens when you got one starting receiver left and he's short and white and slow.
At Look, you couldn't do everything on your own. A lot of people do feel, not to, you know, go off track, but a lot of people do feel, you know, injuries played a huge role in that championship game. Let me just ask you directly. I mean, because you just mentioned, I mean, everything kind of resorted to you, pretty much one guy and maybe some other young guys. Once we had the second injury, because Mechie went down previously, right? And then it was J-Mo that went down in the game. Does that sound right? If I remember that.
Yeah. So Mechie got hurt
in SEC championship game, right?
Yeah, like either second or third quarter, SEC championship, ACL. You know, and I think that's what hurt. You know, kept him from going first round, to be honest. And then J-Mo got hurt in the second quarter, right before half. So, you know, obviously they figured us out. They really did. I mean, obviously Kirby, and I can't remember who their technically defense coordinator was that year, but they figured our offense out pretty well. And, you know, not having someone who could take the top off, you know, keeping the DBs honest and, you know, from keeping anything over their head, it was like, okay, well, we know how to, not necessarily how to stop me as a receiver, but the schemes that I had been running, you know, that's one thing. Like I always praise, I know a lot of Bama fans are, you know, have a different opinion about Coach O'Brien than I do. I really like Coach O'Brien just as a person, but he was my guy. But, you know, I praise this play call. I mean, it's like, you know, people knock him. It's like, well, you know, we should have used, now maybe the next year could have been, you know, maybe been different, right? But
sure,
my last year, his first year there, I mean, we were like the number one offense in the country. I mean, Bryce wins a Heisman. I mean, we had great players, but we've always had great players. You know, you got to be able to have a good offensive scheme. So I've always thought he called the game really, really well. And I think when that happened, I felt like there were some things I could have, because I always felt like I could run any route. I may have been better at, you know, the kind of the options, the, you know, 10 to 12 yard routes, you know, where I'm kind of using my decisiveness, you know, quickness, but I could still run outside routes and because I had to, you know, you had to work every position. And, you know, being a guy like me, I was going against top corners every day at practice. Like I had to figure out a way to get open. But I felt like by the time we got to that point, you know, it was kind of tough. But, you know, so I don't blame him at all. It's just, I think there were some things that we could have done differently, because what I did a lot, where I had the most success, would be running things out of like a bunch formation. I remember I was talking Tuesday about how I'd be like the third guy in the bunch and I'd run like a with release choice route, but the way they would combo, or the way the DBs and the star or the nickel safety would work our bunch formation is the top guy, and I don't even know how they manned it, but it looked like what we called halo or lock and combo, where the nickel safety would lock the point man, or he would go with the back guy, but it was really just like a strange man where it looked like he was about to lock the point man, but he was just waiting on me. So he may like jam the point man, throw him off his route. The other two guys would either freeway, you know, take which whatever went their way, or they may even lock that, they manned that up. But I would like with release, because I had to, you know, create that separation just for Bryce, you know, for the coverage, for the timing and all that. So I would with release, and then this guy's on me, because once he saw that, and I think that's what Kirby and the defense coordinator did a good job, is recognizing that type of scheme and formation. So I would with release and he's right there. So I had to try to speed up my route, and I don't necessarily think that's always beneficial, because especially if it's a timing scheme, right? Everybody's, you know, releasing the way they need to, and I'd run a choice. And man, like I just would get up to the line and he'd be right there. And it's kind of hard to make, you make one move and then you got to make another. And then I have to, you know, release, cut, you know, break out or break in. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to kind of judge that when it's man, because you really don't, you're not able to see the rest of the defense, because I got to worry about this guy right now. normally, if it's a typical zone situation, I have time to read the defense. Okay, I can break in, I can break out now, and or sit it down. But I would run those options out of the backfield, and we were killing them. I'd get 8, 10, I'd get first downs or close to it. We did that a couple times. That's one thing I wish we would have went back to. And there were some times where I ran like some deep digs, some basic routes where I would get open. And, I think one time I was able to get my hands on the ball and it, I was like falling in the ground and may hit the ground. I can't remember. And I thought I caught it, but I guess I didn't see the ball hit the ground. But, stuff like that, I think they really just figured us out and they did a good job. And that's what the biggest challenge is just playing a good team again. It's obviously we have to do a better job of learning from the previous game and learning from the games, against our other opponents and just updating kind of what they're running from a defense and offense perspective. And obviously, being healthy helps. So that's another big issue too.
100%. Now, I love your breakdown of that moment. A lot of people go back to that game. Anytime they talk about Alabama, Georgia, that's the one a lot of people are a little hurt about on the Alabama side.
Me too. Because,
understandably. I mean, listen, y'all were playing some damn good football, man. And like you said, I mean, it's just they figured something out and the injuries definitely didn't help. But I guess we can put it. It's Slade's fault. That's basically what he just said, guys.
Yeah,
it's his fault.
I'll take the responsibility. Trust me.
Wait, who else was it? No, I'm kidding. Who else was it? Once they went down, obviously you were like the premier guy after that for sure. But who was a freshman? So, who else? I don't even remember.
Well, and this name probably doesn't ring nicely to the Bama fans, but Ajay Hall, who was probably one of the more gifted guys that I've ever seen, and we had Trayshawn Holden and Javon Baker end up being really good players. And at the time we're good players. Like I'm not taking anything away from them, but they're young, they were maybe not ready for the moment in that time. And not saying they weren't, or just, that's just how the game worked out. And
no, I understand.
We didn't really, Ajay was going to kind of be like, if we had to replace J-Mo in that situation, he was that guy to take the top off. And he just wasn't ready. We always preach, right? Next man up. And, I was ready in 2020 when J-Dub got hurt. I'm sure you've been in similar situations and had to go in when you were, not necessarily the starter. And I just don't think those guys prepared as well as they could have. No, because it was just me, Mechie, and J-Mo all year. And JoJo Earl would come in and spill me off. But he kind of got banged up, and he was also a freshman. So those things all account, it is tough. I mean, it's a huge moment. I mean, that Indianapolis Colts Stadium, it still haunts me because we lost that game and I had to go to combine and run in that place. And I ran slow and that's a weird stadium. I don't know why.
No, I understand. I mean, hell, I didn't have the best combine either. I was coming off that hamstring. So I about tore my hamstring off the bone against Oklahoma in 2018. Yeah. And I wasn't even healthy. Really, I was probably 70% at best, but I was like, man, if I can get healthy enough to do the drills, I'm like, I have to at least, because I could jump. I had a great vert, jump 38, and that was great. But then I got to the drills, man, and between me not feeling 100% myself and then the awkwardness of the I don't think people understand this, because when you watch it on TV, it looks empty. But to be a player going out there in his full speed, rapid fire, you're barely running on sleep because you've been meeting, doing psychological tests the whole week. I'm in the hospital 12 hours because they're going back to injuries that I had in high school that they want to, get an MRI on. I did like two, then they wanted a third on my neck. And I'm like, listen, I had a little piece of bone removed from my neck in high school. I just played 5 years at the University of Alabama. To hell with me sitting in another room. I'm not doing it. It's about, that was quite the experience. So I don't.
Dude, I can go on and on about that. Like, there's some things that we experience as players that, we can't really say to the media at that time because, it may come off as an excuse or not having accountability. But that one you know, I didn't run what I obviously wanted to run on the 40. And that was kind of my big question mark, you know, how fast is he, right? And I mean, I could tell you I wasn't fastest, but the week before going into that, you know, combine week, or I guess I had like about 4 or 5 days off before I went to Indianapolis. Dude, I ran a 4.51 laser with the, now maybe my trainer down at, and I love them, but maybe they're kind of, you know, late on the start and quick on the finish. But I was like, oh, you give me 4 or 5 days, I might break a 4.4. And that could, that, and not saying that would have, you know, helped me, you know, get drafted or whatever, but I think it would have been, it couldn't have hurt. That's for sure. True. Like you said, you know, you have meetings all day, you do interviews, and you're in bed late and up early in the morning, and you're walking around, you're on your feet every day, and then you run at the end of the last day. So it really takes a toll on you. And like you said, man, I got flagged. I had 2 high ankle sprains in college, and then I had AC joint. Played, you know, the next week after both, right? So AC is like your shoulder. Played both games after the game I got hurt in. And man, the way they did it my year, they different from how they previously did it, was they broke like teams into different rooms. There was like 4 or 5 rooms. Mm-hmm. And I had passed every room. We got to the last room, and some scout or, you know, team physician, doctor, whatever, was like, yeah, can we get a MRI on that ankle? And I'm like, shit. Now, some guys like you, you know, were, you know, in the MRI tank for hours and hours. I was only like 2 hours or maybe 3, but that could have been a time where I'm recovering. You know, it's just,
oh yeah,
you know, all those little things play a huge role. And then, you know, your adrenaline, you're nervous, you're anxious, and you're trying to, you know, everything's sure on you.
Yeah, I mean, because they just said, backers, let's go. And I'm like, now? And the next thing you know, I'm talking about boom, 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 I just rapid fire. And I'm like, it's a lot. You know, coach is like going hard, and you're like, man, you want to do your thing. And then you know it's televised, and the stadium is just empty. It's just quiet. All eyes are on you. And like, I'm not going to lie to you, it felt low-key a little uncomfortable. So that's why, like, when I came out of pro day, I killed my pro day, because, I mean, it's here. And I was like, thank God, because – you know, and I was expecting that. I had that, like, that desire, that fire. I'm like, man, I didn't do how I wanted to do in the drills at the combine. So then pro day definitely was, you know, a situation that led me to really go out there and excel. And I was pleased with how I did there. But I want to ask you this, because like, I know you probably, I don't know how much time you got today, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on this. Speaking of Georgia and injuries, we talked about that, your experience there. Unfortunately, that's kind of a similar situation that we're seeing right now. I don't know if you've seen the latest injury report, but LT Overton, a big factor on defense, one of the best guys on the defense, listed as out in this football game. We already know Jam got banged up against Auburn. Quavis didn't play. We know how important he is as a tight end. There's a lot of injuries piling up. Now, Georgia also has their fair share, but if you look at us, I mean, these are some key players. I mean, our center is still banged up, or our tight end, who's been a huge piece for Ty, our running back who just came back to health. I mean, and now one of our best defenders on the defensive line. How concerned are you about those injuries in this matchup? Like you said, it's hard to beat a team twice, and this is a Georgia team that has been trending, you know, upward since we last saw them in week 5, I should say, of college football.
Yeah, so I went back and watched some of the previous game against Georgia, and that was, like you said, like the key players. That the one thing we struggled on, because and they Georgia always runs the ball well, but they were able to run the ball on us pretty well. And having a guy like LT Overton out, that is a worry. Trying to control the interior trenches, and I think with offensively speaking, you know we need to run the ball more efficiently. So having Jam not healthy doesn't help us, but I'm not really too worried about the running back room. We're worried about the O-line. But having Quavis not healthy and active, that could hurt, because he made some really big plays against Georgia. And that's, you know, when you try to basically spread out the offense and get everybody involved, keep everybody you know, keep the defense honest by being able to pick and pull who you can get the ball in their hands. You know, a tight end's super important, having a good one. Now, I'm not saying we don't have other guys that are good too, but, you know, he's done well all year. So, and he did really well against Georgia last time we played him. So that is a concern. But it's one of those things where, like we talked about, my 2021 national champion experience, you know, are the guys behind them, are they ready to step up? Are they prepared? Are they going to attack, even though they may be a two on the depth chart even going in? Are they prepared to play? You know, and that's the one thing that we don't know. You know, that's what goes in and out every day in the facility. So it is a concern, but I think at the end of the day, as long as we have good depth, and I believe we do, I think we'll be just fine. It won't be too big of a worry because, you know, we've had guys out throughout the year and we've been able to, you know, maintain and step up. But we want to put our best foot forward and, you know, attack this game with everything we got, because unfortunately, I think if we lose this, we're probably out.
It's interesting you say that. It's because a lot of people think we're kind of in a safe spot now that we've jumped Notre Dame. And I think that is a belief. So the good news is there's a lot of people that do fight. We still will secure a spot. However, I completely understand there is a concern just knowing how this committee has been, you know, and then especially as wishy-washy as first, this is what really blew me, that at first it was, oh, you know, you struggled at South Carolina, an unranked team. LSU was a tight game. You didn't play your best ball. Oh, but in the Iron Bowl, even though, yes, we started off pretty strong, going up 17-0, we still ended up playing a close game. Hell, they were marching down the field with a chance to tie it. And then they gave us brownie points for that. So now they've kind of flipped. And we all know what it was. They just were trying to right a wrong. We should have never been behind Notre Dame in the first place. So I will say, I do think if we lose this game, at least from my perspective, I feel like we still make it, just because that alone, but also the fact that if you do leave the SEC, I guess, number one seed out of the college football playoffs for playing an extra game in the SEC championship, all hell's going to break loose. So to me, Slade, I'll be honest, I don't think they, unless we go out there and get curb stomped, which, again, I got my wooden desk, it's not happening. But if something crazy like that happened and we just looked awful and the injuries piled up even more or something, maybe. But I will say this, looking at Georgia, it is interesting because they have been trending since we played them last, you know, up. Yes. You know, I thought Gunnar Stoughton's been playing some good football throughout the course of the year. He's been getting better and better. Their defense, to me, wasn't great. And that was one of the biggest issues when we played them last. They couldn't get off the field on third down. Like, we dominated third down. Now, in the second half, they came up with some adjustments and made some changes, and they definitely played a lot better. But if you go back and watch, I mean, getting after the quarterback, they've struggled with that, but they found ways and other guys that can help pressure the quarterback. They're still not, like, elite at it, but they've improved. I think it's going to be interesting, like you mentioned last time, about the line of scrimmage battle and how important that stuff will be, because when I look at this matchup, man, I know we're banged up with, you know, Brailsford and now Dewberry also on there. So we, you know, talk about the battle line of scrimmage. That's something to pay attention to. But Georgia didn't look great against Georgia Tech. So it's kind of like, on one hand, I'm like, all right, they've been playing well, but they kind of got a little loose against Georgia Tech. So we'll see if they can respond from that. But at the end of the day, man, I think we just got to go out there and we got to know who we are. And I'm not trying to sound like, I know this is kind of like, oh, well, but this is true. Like, we always play a good game when we play these guys, whether it was under Coach Saban or Coach DeBoer. We just have to stick to that and trust that's who we are. We're Alabama at the end of the day. You know, like you said, next man up. I mean, whether that's Keon Keeley or Jordan Renaud filling in at that bandit position. I think, personally, I think you'll see Kelby Collins, because we've been seeing more of him too. I think you'll see him, Keon, and Jordan Renaud, you know, all three of those guys filling in. And I think that'll be important. But you're right. I mean, last game when we played them, it was basically third down was a key in this game, right? We dominated third down. They couldn't get off the field. But then they also ran for 200-plus yards on us, which we've been a lot better stopping the run, so that's going to be important as well. So there's a lot to look forward to in this game. We'll have to see. I'll be honest with you, though, Slade. I've watched tape and seen where, you know, both of us are at this point since last time we saw each other. It's hard for me to kind of get a good feel on how this thing could really go, you know, because on one end, I'm like, you know, they had a lot of success running the ball last time, but damn, we've looked so much better stopping the run since then. So there's that. But then I'm like, well, I also know, you know, the quarterback, he's been playing a lot better, been, you know, looking better, you know, throwing the football as well, making decisions. But he just struggled last week against Georgia Tech a little bit. You know what I mean? And I'm like, our offense, I felt we were playing pretty damn good back when we played them. And now recently we've kind of hit a little bit of a bump in the road, so to speak, over the last month. So it's hard to really gauge how this thing could go. Plus, it's an SEC championship game. You'll get both teams' best regardless.
Yeah. I think it's hard to gauge any games across the board in college football now. I mean, it's especially in the SEC, and that's like you hit it perfectly on, you know, whether, you know, God forbid we lose and we got to put, you know, our future in the hands of the committee. It's like you said, it's we're playing, in Georgia included, we're playing a lot different type of ball and schedule compared to these other teams and these other teams out of these, you know, in these different conferences. You know, I know Big Ten has a, you know, a pretty good, you know, stature of teams in it, but every week in the SEC, especially now with Portal, it's tough. It's very tough. It almost evens the playing field, but hey, still a little brother in Atlanta, Georgia, so
that's we got true
that for sure.
Yeah, and then hopefully it stays that way this weekend. Again, this is, in my opinion, going to be one of those games. I think it's going to be a battle, man. I mean, you got one hand. I mean, we beat them, and I know we always play really well against them. It seems like we're their kryptonite, but I also understand that vengeance factor. And I know Kirby, man. I know what he's telling those guys. I mean, you're probably familiar with Kirby a little bit as well. I mean, listen, he's going to have those guys thinking they're the biggest underdogs. They have no chance. That's what he likes to do. He likes to, you know, give them that rat poison. That dude
coming into our home.
He's
a Saban quotes, no doubt.
100%. I don't know if you remember this, but like after they won a championship, they're like, yeah, you know, all these people said we were underdogs, and everybody was like,
what?
Favorite in this game against TCU, you know that, right? By like a good bit. I don't know.
You gotta find a way to motivate them, right?
100%. All right, so I don't know if you got to get out of here, but we're gonna hit the top hour break. You tell me whatever you want to do, but
it's probably best if I do, as much as I don't want to.
I hear you. Well, big thanks to Slade joining us like he does now, pretty commonly. So make sure you guys keep tuning in. We'll get a schedule going for him that way we can let you guys know exactly. But big thanks to Slim Shady Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver, hanging out with us here on Miller's Edge. Slade, we appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate it, man. I'll help you out. You just keep it Slim Slady, so you ain't got to do both.
Slim Slady. Hey, I like it. Slim Slady.
That's what I was called. I don't know how much you called on, but that's what people called me.
I like
Not
it.
Many.
I like it. Slim Slady. A good deal. We're at the top of the hour break. Big thanks to Slim Slady, and we'll do it again soon. You listen to Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Week 14 of the NFL kicks off with Thursday Night Football as the Lions will be hosting the Cowboys, and wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown is questionable for Detroit. In the NBA on Wednesday, Cooper Flagg doing what he can for the Mavericks.
To Nembhard, and now in the middle to Davis out top. Drops it right to Flagg. Fakes the pass, takes the drive, got to the rim. Score it with a foul and a chance for three. To the rim.
Yeah, you heard it on the Eagle Mavericks radio network. They beat the Heat 118-108, where Flagg ended with 22 points. The Clippers snapped their five-game losing streak with a 115-92 win over the Hawks, while Jamal Murray dropped 52 points as the Nuggets
outdoor patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia, for the SEC title again.
And Alabama is headed to Atlanta again and play that song.
It's the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with a chance of some scattered light rain this afternoon, the high 48. Cloudy tonight with occasional rain, the low 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day. The sky will stay cloudy, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Big thanks to Alabama, former Alabama wide receiver, Slade Bolden, Slim Slady, as he gave us the recommendation there. So I like that, man. Slim Slady, that's smooth. I will say this, I forgot to mention the Slade. We technically have a wide receiver coach position open. And as you guys heard, I mean, Slade, he knows his stuff, especially when it comes to route running, the receiver position, all of the fine details. I mean, he did a great job playing the position while he was here. I don't know. Maybe he needs to come hang around the facility or something for a little bit, and who knows? Obviously, that's not how it works, but that'd be cool, though. I think he'd do a good job, man. I think Slade would make a really good coach, man. I need to ask him. Maybe he'd be interested in coaching one day. That said, a couple things we need to hit on. We need to keep talking about the SEC championship. We definitely talked about it with Slade for sure. We'll keep diving into that conversation again. A lot of injuries on both sides. How could that affect this game? We'll talk about it. I wanted to talk a little bit about the whole recruiting thing as well, with signing day being yesterday. There was that clip that came out that was really interesting to me, because it really, I mean, I was, again, I have a good understanding because of everybody I talked to, how that stuff goes on. I mean, those guys included. But I was almost shocked that they were so transparent on that show about literally the inner workings of recruiting nowadays. But I think it was great that they did that, because it really paints a solid, clear picture for fans and anybody out there to really understand how it works now. It's not the same, oh, we're just trying to sign 25 of the best players possible. No, I mean, like, it literally is about as close to the pros as it's ever been. I mean, like, their job is now, hey, we've got this amount for a budget. We've got to be able to sign these guys, but we got to say, hey, do we want to take this guy for this number, or should we pass on him, take a player that's not as recognized in terms of the ratings, but we still feel like he's just as good as a player? That conversation to me was I mean, it had all types of nuggets that you could pull from. So let's go ahead and start there, and we'll dive back into the SEC championship conversation here in a minute. But while we were talking about it during the break, let's take a look at it again. This was yesterday during the signing day show. Chris Stewart was joined by Roman Harper, and then they ended up getting Bob Welton, who I can't remember his exact title, but, you know, he's definitely player personnel and recruiting and all that stuff. And Courtney Morgan, of course, the general manager, they joined the set. And this is what they had to say regarding signing day and the world of recruiting now.
This whole process that is the recruiting nowadays, what do you deem as a full class? I know today they're trying to sign 18, 19. So are you holding back? Like, what is a full class? When I was coming through it, it was 25. Everybody knew exactly what the number was, where we were trying to get to. Nowadays, it has shaped, it has moved. Kind of point me in direction of what I should be looking for, or what is a full class anymore?
Yeah, I think you used to base it off of the natural attrition of your roster. Mm-hmm. Your place was leaving.
Yep.
Now, you don't really know with the portal.
Yeah.
Honestly, Bob, we just recruit.
Try to keep it simple. In a world of chaos, right. We try to keep it simple.
We find the best players.
Yeah, we're just trying to find good football players. Now, unfortunately, is to get a word about the cost.
Right.
Yeah. Are they cost efficient for what their level of skill is? That's the other part that you've got to take into consideration now. And I think, I don't know, Courtney, if you think that, I think the signing class days of, hey, top five ranking class, I think that's out the window.
Oh, wow.
Because, like you said, the numbers are going to be lower.
Right, yes.
And, shoot, I mean, we took kids that are, you know, you're going to take kids that are maybe lesser ranked because of the money situation. But they're good players.
Right.
But you just can't, just how was
I want to follow that up. Go ahead, Courtney.
So if you look at the number one classes this year, they have 36 commits.
Mm.
Well, the only way you take 36 commits if you have a lot of people leaving your roster.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want our players to leave our roster. We feel like we have a really good roster. That's why we're in the position that we're in right now. So to take 36 players, it means you have a plan to remove a lot of people from your roster. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's identify the best players that equal the value of money that we're willing to spend. So we'll get the best players. We'll figure out, you know, we'll allocate our money properly. But even doing that, we also keep in mind we want to keep our players.
Yes.
So you don't want to overspend your high school class because retention costs too.
Okay.
So it's, yeah.
You bring up the money in retention and all these other things. Which one, for the average fan like myself, which one costs more? Is it out of the portal, or is it out of high school? Or is it the position? Or is it just kind of a bundle pack? I have no idea.
I would say it's a mixture of all of them.
Okay.
You definitely don't want to overspend your high school players. If you are in the running to get an elite player, you go get them. But you know the offset is that you might sign a smaller class because we're always being mindful of retention, right? The better you are in retention, the better you are getting elite high school players, paying the right people, the less you have to spend in the portal. So if you focus on retention and really good high school recruiting and not the rankings, guys that you've identified that can really play. Look at our freshman class now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have 8 freshmen playing right now. So I think we did a good job. So if you focus on that, you focus on retention, then you'll have less needs in the portal.
Okay.
In each one of those buckets, like you just mentioned, I think we do a pretty good job of, we have a budget for each of those buckets.
Right.
Ah, nice. Okay,
so we don't want to spend it all on high school kids and not have enough for our own team. So you got to really be disciplined, especially today.
Right.
Because we're both used to just signing 25.
Right.
And signing all the good players we can.
Yes.
There's no cost to it.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, you got to be like, ooh, man, can't do it.
And another thing, now that it's funny, we talked about the changing of signing day.
Mm-hmm.
Losing a player on signing day doesn't kill you. Because, like, oh, that's cool. That's $400,000 more.
Go buy a portal, baby. Yeah.
Or give it to someone who's been playing their butt off in the fall.
Yeah.
And it's a win-win. Like, you don't cry.
That helps with the retention factor, which is number one on your big thing is that retention.
Retention.
Yeah. So yes.
Those used to ruin your day. We've had a couple. We're like,
if he comes, you know. Yeah. You know, we can pay this player, that player, and we can go to the portal. So, yeah, it actually makes Saturday a little easier.
I actually like this. You guys are putting a lot of the fans and viewers of ease. Like, hey, if you the guy you've been starring the whole time for 3 or 4 months leaves, hey, it's okay. Yeah. You guys are letting us know right now. So I really do appreciate it.
Even when we're on the sideline in our game and one of our players makes a hell of a play, we're like,
ROI, baby, ROI.
We're the pan man, right? Yeah, yeah. So the money has to come from somewhere.
I like
so
this.
So that kid leaves, hey, that's more money to X, Y, and Z.
That was very interesting. Chase, what do you think about that conversation? Like I said, I mean, I think they did probably one of the best jobs so far out of anybody really detailing and breaking down this new process called recruiting / retention. I mean, really just management, right? And that's why we have general managers. I think it's very clear and it's more evident now than ever. You have to have people like Bob. Shout out to Bob. Again, I've known Bob for years, man. I think he came over from Tennessee. He's been there since I was here. And then you got Courtney Morgan now. Those guys kind of leading the ship. And then you'll see, I think, with the new recruiting documentary stuff coming out here shortly, all the other people involved behind the scenes. But it's crazy, you know, how it's gone from when I was getting recruited, which wasn't that long ago, 2013, you know, I was a junior in high school going on my senior year, you know, the home visits and coaches on the road, which they still do that. But now you're seeing really behind the scenes, these are the guys making everything happen with, hey, man, we got to worry about roster retention, which is their number one priority, which I think makes perfect sense, right? Especially when you have talented guys on the roster. You got to retain them. What good is it to go out there and pay all this money to these recruits if you're not retaining them? So their philosophy obviously is smart. It works. And that's why I think it's very, very good that they said these things so people can finally understand, right? The rankings, they don't really – I've never been a big fan of them regardless. But now I think people really can understand and relax and say, hey, it's not so much about where we are in these rankings. It's more so about the quality of players – the right players, right? Getting the guys that we need and understanding that we're not going to always get as many because we're retaining much more at a higher level compared to some of these other programs out there. Chase, I thought it was just really interesting. I mean, didn't you think that conversation really kind of opened a lot of people's eyes to how things work nowadays?
Man, I really appreciate you putting that on, Christian. Really opened my eyes a lot because to the average fan, really, they don't really know this stuff. You know, they kind of see a ranking system, you know, this amount of points, this is where they're ranked at, and that's it. But now which is the beauty in it, with so much changing behind the scenes, you have to stay on top of stuff because you're right. Roster retention, man, if you're not managing your money right, you can recruit the best player in the world. They're gone next year. You know, and it's just, it's fascinating to me because adding general managers and, like you said, like Mr. Bob, in the video, it shows that it's not just about a coach going to somebody's house. This is business. And this is affecting not only the football team of said university, this is affecting basketball, baseball, soccer, mm-hmm. because it emulates eventually into those sports, as well. So I think Bama does an amazing job of keeping the main thing. And, you know, Mr. Morgan said it. He's like, I don't care about the high-ranking system. I'll get somebody, an unranked, someone that wasn't scouted right or someone that was overlooked in high school. We can do that, you know, and it's all about really money. Money is, I think it's going to come a point, Christian, and I love your thoughts on the other side of this break or whenever you want to go to break. Do you feel like the recruiting aspect, like how you went through it, it's just not going to be a thing anymore? It's going to be where it's like signing, like, you know, they graduate, this is how much they are valued, and we'll just sign them and that's it.
That's a really good question. Yeah, I'll definitely wait till we come back from this quick timeout, and I'll just add this real quick. The other thing that he mentioned that I really liked was, hey, you know, we didn't land this guy. That's okay. We got a number of other guys that we valued and thought are good players. And not in like a salty way. They're just saying like that is what it is. Name of the game. We had a couple guys flip yesterday. Cool. You expect that. But here's the thing. Instead of being salty over it, let's say, all right, boom. That means we have extra money in our budget now from what was, you know, allocated towards the high school recruiting. So let's go, you know, reward some of the guys that play well. Because, listen, for me, being a guy that spent 5 years here, I always have felt, since NIL has been a thing, I felt for the older guys that have been in the program that aren't making that, definitely, especially like in the now, right? They're making a much greater impact than some of these young guys, but those young guys are making more money than them just because they're new and they're fresh and they just came out of high school. That's always bothered me. Because listen, I would have been a prime example of that. I would have been a fifth-year guy, probably not being rewarded much, but knowing I put my body on the line the last 4 years, and in doing so now, I'm having a much greater impact. But then I've got a young guy coming in our room, and it's not hating on it. It's just that shouldn't be how it is. Now, I understand technically if you're in the NFL, you know, say you're on your rookie deal, and then you got a first-round guy coming in your room, he's going to have more bread than you. That's a little bit different. This, to me, that's always bothered me. But to hear them say, hey, we're looking, number one, retaining our guys is important too. Hey, we'll use some of that leftover that we might have from this budget, and we'll compensate our guys and reward them for playing well. I like that. I respect that a whole bunch, and I think that also helps with retaining guys 100%. Hey, man, you've had a great year. We know your value has gone up. You could go somewhere else. We're going to reward you and compensate you. That's how it should be, because now you're almost putting it on as an incentive by, hey, y'all better go bust y'all's ass, have good years. If you do, you hear the man. He said, hey, dude makes a play. Like, think about it. Let's give you an example. I mean, I would use Xavier Brown, but I'm sure he's probably already pretty well taken care of. But look at how he's balling right now. You don't think they do the thing like, yeah, we know people might be looking at him, man. Make sure we take care of that guy. I'm trying to think of like a young guy who's, you know, maybe not, oh, 90. Boom. Defensive tackle. What's his name? London Simmons. Best believe he's a 3-star coming out of high school. He's a great example of kind of one of the guys that probably we're talking about. You know, we allocate a little bit of money here. We got to take a guy who's a little under the radar, but we've seen him camp. We think he's a good player. Well, they're right about that. He's a damn good football player. Look at the contribution he's having right now. That dude needs to go. They're not needs to. They're going to reassess and give him some money. I see a number of people spamming Red Morgan. Same thing. A guy that probably wasn't recruited nearly as high ends up being a really good football player. He's going to get rewarded. And that's how it should be, in my opinion. Right? Reward the guys that have earned it, that are going out there and contributing, that might not be making as much as some of these other guys. So I like it. But anyway, I just thought that was really cool, and it definitely painted that picture about as clear as possible, because I don't think I've heard any other schools or anybody really talk about it in depth like they did. And that's why I was shocked that they were speaking on all this publicly, because normally they don't really mention these things as much publicly, but that was cool to hear that from them. Let's hit a timeout, catch up on breaks when we come back. Chase, I'll answer your question. We got a super chat from Gelati. Gelati will hit that and answer that as well. Plus, we'll get back to talking some SEC championship matchup, Alabama, Georgia. About a little over what? I would say about 51 hours away or something. It starts at 3. We're 2 days away from it. So I was about 51 hours away. Will Alabama be able to capture their first SEC championship under head coach Kalen DeBoer? We'll find that out in about 51 hours. But we'll keep talking about it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
This Saturday at Kohl's. No purchase necessary while supplies last on 12/6/25. One card per household. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offers end December 6th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
All IQBar products, plus free shipping when you text IQBar to 64000. Text IQBar to 64000 to get your 20% off. That's IQBar to 64000.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with a chance of some scattered light rain this afternoon, the high 48. Cloudy tonight with occasional rain, the low 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day. The sky will stay cloudy, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, Chase, let's start off with a question you asked me. I want to make sure we go back to that. You asked, do I feel, given, you know, the state of recruiting where everything's at right now, that the world of like the home visits and all that, like that whole process, you asked, do I feel like that's a thing of the past? Is that the question, Chase?
Yes.
You know, I can't help but feel that we're kind of trending that way. I don't think it's completely gone, because I do know, especially here, those guys you just heard from in that video we just played, they value relationships. And in a world where, yes, money kind of drives the ship, unfortunately, I know people don't want to hear that, but that's where we're at right now. I mean, unfortunately, more times than not, you have players that are wondering, hey, how much can I make? And it's easy to fault the players, but you can't fault these guys, because if you think about it, if you were 16, 17 years old, hell, some of these guys are as young as 15 years old, and they're already having people flaunt money in their face. And they're being offered things of value. And some of them come from situations where they've never seen that type of money, and then they have families that might be in need, or you get what I'm saying? It's you almost can't blame them, just blame the system. It's the system's fault. Speaking of that, I mean, even just listening to that, like, I just hope everybody understands, you know, the situation that they're in, and they're approaching the correct way, and they have the right resources around them. The reason I think about this, I don't want to go too far off path, but I don't know if you guys saw or heard the whole thing with Odell Beckham Jr. talking about the $100 million contract, how quick it goes. You know, you sign a $100 million contract, but in reality, it's really only $60 million post-taxes, you know, agent fees, everything else. You're taking care of people around you. You're spending good money on goods and things that you probably don't need, but things that you want. You want to flex. You want to floss. I don't even want to go down that bridge, because I'm just going to be honest with you. I know Ryan Clark said people were clickbaiting or just trying to take. Chase, I'm sorry. If you blow through that amount of money, you just have very, very extremely poor financial literacy, poor discipline, or you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people. I'm just saying, because if people only knew like how money really works, dude, even post taxes, he literally could have put that. He could have put 25% of $60 million is $15 million. you don't even need that much, but say he did in like a money market or some type of brokerage account, and say it's, you know, it's well diverse, but say they always say, you know, the average is about 10% annual return, right? That's what you're aiming for. I know it's going to be more, it's going to be less, say on average. We'll keep the math simple here. Say you put $10 million away and just like forgot about it. If you're earning on average about 10%, that's paying him $1 million annually. So I like, so people that say like that are trying to like, I'm not saying I don't feel bad for him because I understand the pressure of, you know, family and stuff like that, but you gotta learn how to say no, number one. But number two, bro, you don't even like, even if you wanted to go do all the dumb stuff, if you would have just took a certain amount and put it away and let it do its thing, I mean, annually, and then you talk about compound interest, then the next year you're getting, you know, on average 10% of what that is, and it compounds. I mean, dude, like, come on, man. I say all that to say, I mean, I hope these guys nowadays, these recruits are thinking like that, because I'm not saying they're making $100 million or $60 million. They're not even close. However, you can't tell me, dude, if you're a high school guy or going to college and you got the opportunity to earn like $500,000 in a year, which not many of them have that opportunity, but say they do, if you're afforded clothes, you're afforded the education, you're afforded a whole bunch of food, not 24/7, but damn near, you know, 80% of the time, outside of maybe a phone bill and the gas and stuff like that, brother, save all that damn money and do what I just said. Put that, let that money get to work, and then you don't have to worry about the whole Odell Beckham Jr. problems. Like, I'm just telling you guys, I didn't make nearly $60 million, not even close to it. I was paid handsomely, you know, for time I was, you know, playing professional. But I'm just telling you guys, if you manage your money right, you should not be in that position. So always educate yourself on finances. That said, to answer your question, Chase, yeah, I feel like it's a part of the past somewhat, but at the same time, not completely, because relationships are still very important. They're extremely important. And I think that's why we're able to recruit so well and not necessarily be paying, you know, these blank checks out like you might see. And I'm not like, you know, trying to hit people with strays, but you hear about the Oregon's, Ohio States, and how much they're putting Texas, A&M, you know, these schools, how much they put towards that. The reality is we're not on quite that level. Why are we still able to recruit as well as we do? The relationships. So while on one end, yes, it's changed a lot and that's not as important, it still is very important. I think we're seeing that, at least for us. I think that's why we're fortunate to have not only the brand that we have, but the people that we have, you know, the culture that we have. In a world where everything's going against that, we're still holding on to that. And I think that bodes well for us when you combine it with everything else that we do have to offer here to Alabama, which is good, man, which works out. Really good. Let's do this to stay on schedule. Let's hit another quick timeout because I know we've been combining a little bit. Then when we come back, we'll dive into some more Alabama, Georgia talk. We got KJ on the line. We haven't heard from KJ in a while, man. Love to hear his thoughts. I know he, at least he spent a lot of time in that backyard. I don't know where he's living at nowadays, but maybe he can give us some vibes on Georgia and how all that is going on right now ahead of this matchup. I'm sure he'll probably be there too. So we'll talk with him. We'll break down some more SEC championship. We got the tape pulled up. Have some time. We'll watch some clips here in a minute. Then we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia for the SEC title again.
And
Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday on your home for Alabama football.
The yearly fave, so hurry. Get more gifting for your buck and save 10% on Target gift cards with Target Circle for 2 days only. Only at Target. Restrictions apply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on...
It ends on December 7th. For just a few more days, you can get Babbel's lifetime access for less at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we got a good whole bunch of conversation going on today, man. A bunch of good talk going on. Now I'm looking forward to talking to my guy KJ, man. It's been a minute. KJ, man, welcome in.
What it do?
Where you been at, man? I mean, you in and out. You come in, you gone for a couple minutes.
Definitely in and out, man. Definitely in and out, man. I've been working, but definitely in and out. I'll be spying on you, man. I'll be listening. I just can't call in.
There you go.
Obviously, as much as I used to. So, fair enough. But I do definitely be spying, man. I'll be hearing the conversation, like the Odell conversation about this money, man. You know
what
you're
for. What do you think about that?
So, I'm in marketing. So, I kind of always let people know, like, in terms of, like, whether you're an athlete, whether you, whatever type of brand that you do have. Whatever you have to be consistent with whatever that brand is. So with Odell, like, he is different from any other athlete. Like, he has he's almost all in a sense, like, made it. He was, like, one of the most popular, most famous athletes at the time. You know what I mean? In terms of being famous. Yeah. So he had a different set of responsibilities. He couldn't just go home and just chill, you know what I mean, and come and just play football and, you know, just. No, he was hanging out with the Kim Kardashian.
Wait, hold on. You said he couldn't. Wait, you said he couldn't. No. He was choosing. No, he could. No. Nobody told him to go Hollywood now. I mean, I'm not saying I blame him. I mean, when you have that opportunity afforded to you to be around all these A-list celebrities and I'm sure all the fun stuff that comes with that. I'm just saying, he had a choice.
It's in him. I felt like it's in him regardless. So that was going to come out. But some people choose that lifestyle. Some people desire that lifestyle. I think that he was the type of person that desired and wanted that lifestyle. Put it like that. Like, he is a star. So you got to do star things. You got to be all right. You don't have to do it, but you got to get a jet. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you got to fly private. It's a different thing. I don't know, man.
I mean, I guess. My, listen, and I understand that aspect, but that's what comes with surrounding yourself by those people, because you know how they're spending money and what it takes to do that.
Appear to live that way, because a lot of them don't even really have the money. They're just appearing to live that way.
Like a lot of these rappers.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of, like, funny conversation, honestly. I was just I was looking for, like, some Supreme gear, and I was asking, I'm like, how much is this? And the guy gave me the price, and I'm like, do you realize, like, I know, like, five different athletes that you give this stuff to for free? Like, I'm not paying.
isn't it funny how that works? Normally the people with more money normally get, like, the free stuff.
The free thing. Yeah. That's why I always say, like, fun. Even like with this game coming up, like the game, right? Obviously, I don't have the same type of connections that I used to have in terms of Alabama, right? So I'm thinking, like, all right, like, yo, I don't remember the last time I paid for a ticket. Like, how do I even do it? Like, how do I even do it?
Yeah, that's fair. Good luck paying for them. How much are they going for right now? I haven't even looked.
I haven't even, I haven't checked. I've refused. So, but I was saying that to my mom. My mom was like, what? Like, I've been paying for, like, you've been all this time, you've been getting your tickets for free. I'm like, you've been paying? She's like, yes, when I go to sports games. Wow. I'm like, no, just ask me. Like, I will find you someone. We'll get you on the guest call. But isn't that crazy that how many people have to, it's just weird, man.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean.
But yeah, so yeah. You are right, though. He needs to be a little bit more. I mean, I think it just comes, like, that's why I do teach. You have to have financial literacy, like starting from step A to step Z, because you got to think of it. That was the last thing possibly on his mind. Like, dude, like LSU, they're not trying to break down. No, like, come on. This was the man that was giving $100 bills in the championship game. You remember that when he was?
I'm sure he wants that back. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out if like he genuinely is like in a bad position. I don't think he's that bad off.
I was gonna say that. I don't think Odell is not wanting for anything right now, y'all. Like, I don't think. I think he was just talking about the amount of money that he blew, and he's now coming to grips with that. I don't think he's.
That's everybody though. And like, even dude, talk to my dad again. My dad played 9 years in the NFL. He has no problem. He's saying this. It's part of his testimony. He always talks about.
Yeah.
That dude, again, playing in the NFL 9 years now, what they made back then was literally like peanuts to what they get paid now. I mean, like, literally back then, like, a big contract might be like, oh, he got a $3 million deal over 4 years. Like, he just got a second contract versus now, I mean, we're talking about like $80 million. It's a lot different. But still, if you ask him, it's the same thing. He's like, I watched my dad. That dude would have a new car like every 3 months. And listen, I know people probably because they know me, like, I like trading in and out of stuff, but I do it strategically where when I'm buying cars that are slightly used where they're not taking a hit, he was just buying a brand new car knowing it's immediately depreciated like 25%. He didn't care. And that's what a lot of these other guys, they have that mindset like, oh, I just signed this deal. I just got drafted. Oh, it don't matter. But then they look back 10, 15 years down the road and it's like, dang, that was dumb. You know, they have buyer's remorse, it's regret. Because if you look at it, if you do the math, it's not much, but we're saying a guy in the league that say he's made like $10 million in his career. So you take 10% of that and just put that away. I mean, literally, man, just like let that grow and do its thing and let even more. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's about discipline. Like, literally just like let it sit there. It literally will make money on its own. Like, and I think if people really knew that's how it worked, like these players, they would be like, oh, hell yeah, sign me up. But instead, they want the instant gratification of, oh, man, I got to get this chain. I got to get – no, man. Like, bro, once you train your brain to be wired, like, no, I can either buy this that's going to depreciate in value or I can sit there and put this into this and this property, whatever, it's going to make this over the course of 6 months.
You can still do both.
I recommend that. Listen, I'm not saying you starve yourself of anything. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm probably on the extreme side where, like, dude, I hardly get myself anything. I really don't. Like,
but I'm sure
my mindset is
I'm sure it's something that you do have, though, that other people will be like, I'm not paying that for that. Like, you know what I mean? I think that's
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not even kidding. You can ask anybody that I know. There's probably not much. Hear me out. There was a phase where, like, I never been into shoes. Like, I always used to wear, like, boots and stuff in college. Then I, like, got into, like, getting some Dunks a few years ago. And so, yes, I did buy some shoes. But when I tell you, like, for the most part, and even right now, bro, I'm not kidding, bro. Like literally, the jacket I'm wearing right now, bro, I've had this since I was, like, 19. If I had this almost, like, 10 years, bro.
But I'm serious.
Dude, ask anybody I know, bro. Like, they make fun of me. They think I'm, like, the cheapest person. I'm like, bro, it's just, for, like, bro, I don't eat out a whole bunch. I'm very frugal because I just understand,
I'm the door. Like, I know where my money, but I'm wasteful with DoorDash. DoorDash,
yeah.
Man, that's the whole bill. Uber fees, Uber and DoorDash.
It adds up, man. I tell people all the time, bro, people don't understand how much they spend on, like, fast food and things like that. And it adds up so much versus, like, for me, like, I meal prep everything. So, I mean, on average, I'm probably paying $4 a meal because I'm cooking. And it's good food, too. I mean, it's like hibachi chicken. It's spaghetti. It's shrimp linguine. Like, it's good, healthy food. And it's only probably $4 a meal versus you go eat out nowadays. That's $14 each time.
Yeah, I'm not cooking, but I get your point. But, man, about the season, man, since the season's over with, I'm absolutely shocked that Kane Womack is the better coordinator this season. Like, I ain't mind blown by that. I did not have that on my bingo card at all for this year. I am so shocked.
It's time to give him some love now, right? I mean, listen, I understand last couple of years, or at least last year and a half, I mean, a lot of people could definitely be a little critical at times, especially with the Russian defense. But sure enough, man, I mean, this defense looked pretty damn good. I know my dad still probably find a thing or two, but I'll be honest with you, man. Like, they walk the walk. Too, like, yeah, he's always gonna find something. But listen,
but you know what I love, like, about them, man?
Oh, go ahead.
They hunt the football. They are hunting absolutely for that football. They look like wolves and they smell blood. I saw a play where Xavier Brown, it was like on that, it was a run, and he hit, like, he was hitting at the football. Nothing happened. There was nothing happening in that. But the following play after that, he actually got the ball out doing the same thing. That was the ball that went out of bounds. Like, the play before that, he was still trying to hit the ball. Then that mm-hmm. next play, the ball actually came out, but it bounced out of bounds. And I'm like, yo, these people are literally hunting the ball. So everybody was like, they're not trying to turn over the football. These people are hunting the football. They hunt the football.
So no, they do. They definitely do.
This game, protect the football.
No, 100%. Yeah, and I was going to say another guy. We know Bray for sure. He's always head hunting, and he's always got a hat on the football. But, you know, the next guy that comes to mind is Nakai Hill Green, man. He's always punching at the football. And listen, there's a reason he's gotten so much, so many more snaps throughout the course of the year, to the point where I feel like they're kind of like on a rotational thing, like, you know, every other series type deal. And I get it, right? Especially when you're playing a lot of nickel, only having two inside backers on the field. But he's one of those guys that, you know, you got to find ways to get him out there, because he's physical, man. Every time I turn on the tape of our defense now, I mean, anytime he's in there, he's flying, running downhill. Like, that stuff we saw week one where guys are kind of waiting and nah, man. Like, they made a decision. I don't know what was said in the meeting after Florida State or whatever, but they made the decision, like, they're not going to sit there and be called soft anymore. And I think that's been one of the biggest reasons this defense has looked so much better. And not even just that. And I think, like, Deontay Lawson looks more healthy now. Maybe part of it, too, is he's not playing as many snaps because he's rotating a little bit with 41, too. I don't know, but right. I agree with you, man. K. Womack's done a really nice job.
I was talking to a scout the other day about Lawson. He's putting on great sales. I think it's going to be a game, too, as well, where I think we finally going to have to hit on the deep ball. Like, Kirby's seeing the percentages of it. I think Kirby's going to, like, smother and stay inside. He's going to box up, stay right inside the box. Even though he knows he can't run the ball, he's just going to be anticipating short passes and things of that nature. The intermediate passes, the passes, never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
I see where you're going.
Yeah, if we hit the deep balls, we have to hit the deep balls to be able to win this game, man. We got to at least have one or two completions to push them back. We push them back a little bit, man. I think we have an opportunity to go ahead. Do we have an opportunity to go ahead and win? I think we own them. Like, we own Georgia, just like Oklahoma owns us. We own Georgia. So I'm ready.
Dang, wait, you're already putting that label on it? You would go as far as saying that Oklahoma's got our number? I mean, I could say they got our number, but I don't know about owning us, though. Well, I don't know the history of the matchup too well.
I think when you go back in the historical matchups, I think they own us, man.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'll tell you this. I definitely think the explosives are going to be, you know, much needed in this game. I mean, listen, Georgia defense looks a lot better since we played them last. We know the inconsistencies that we've had running the football, even though it's been better, and hopefully we can build off of that. Just, you see Dewberry's banged up, and you already know Brailsford's banged up as well. So Vandermark, he was kind of the fill-in guy at guard as well. So, I mean, hell, he might be playing musical chairs this game, playing a little guard, playing a little center, who knows. Then Jam being, you know, banged up and probably not going. It's going to be interesting watching that matchup. I'll say this, though. I do think there should be some opportunities to hit some explosives. I mean, I'm watching this Texas game now. I mean, listen, Georgia's going to do what they did against us early on in the year. They're going to bring pressure. They're not afraid to bring backers. And so, I mean, normally when you're seeing those looks, right, those zero pressures, you got a lot of man coverage, hopefully there should be an opportunity or two. I mean, hell, we saw one early against Georgia, and, you know, Ryan unfortunately dropped it. Let me ask you this, man. Give me your thoughts on Ryan, man. You think he's going to have a little bounce back game anytime soon, or you think we might as well just wait for next year to see if he can kind of – you know, get everything cleaned up.
I'll be completely honest. If I was Ryan's, if I was his parent, or if I was his agent, or if I was anyone, I don't think I would be considering staying at Alabama, just being honest.
Whoa. Why are you saying that?
And the reason why I'm saying that is because I think...
Well, you're about to make a lot of people mad with that one.
Yeah, it seems like it's a disconnect between him and the OC, and they've been trying to, like... They've been, I don't know, it's almost been falsifying what's going on in a sense. And I'm not speaking of any inside information. I'm just speaking on just from what I can see, right? Like, the OC doesn't, any playmaker, you get the ball in the hands of the playmaker, right? And he seems like he is unwilling to do that, like almost in a stubborn sense of like, no, like in the drops that Ryan did have helped contribute to his case of saying, I don't have to give him the football, right? And there was obviously there were things that Ryan needed to improve upon in terms of technique and things of that nature. And then Ryan already is not necessarily the typical prototype receiver that they want in their system. If I'm Ryan's agent, I would be asking the question, are we system oriented in terms of our receivers, or are we get the best player of the football in terms of our receivers? And if you're not get the ball to the best player, I got to go to a coach that will do that.
Wow, man. And of course, I mean, we're about out of time today. So, I mean, you're dropping it on that one, man. You're going to have a lot of people definitely going to be responding to that one probably on these other shows. Listen, I let me just ask you this real quick before we get out of here. We got like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You don't think it could it be, you know, attributed to the fact that, listen, you got Jeremy Bernard, who's a more overall, you know, complete wide receiver, right? And I think we all can agree on that. At least right now. I know Ryan has a higher ceiling, but right now, Jeremy's a more complete wide receiver. That's a fact. You bring in a guy like Horton. And then on top of that, you got a young guy in Latsier Brooks, who, I mean, he's been very reliable. Now, he's had a couple drops here and there. I'm not saying he's perfect, right? He had one against Auburn. Mm-hmm. But in terms of some of the stuff he's been doing, bro, I mean, look, from my point of view as a player, this is how I look at it. I mean, look, you feed the people, the opportunities that have the hot hand or that have been providing. And to me, I'm just saying, I mean, he's in a little bit of a slump right now.
You haven't
he's gotten some. He's gotten some, but I also can't help but notice when I watched on tape, some of the routes I was watching him run on tape, and then maybe the ball wasn't coming to him or whatever, but it didn't always see. Like, there's a couple plays. I'm not saying he's taking plays off, but there were a couple plays or some routes that I just kind of didn't see. I'm like, maybe he's not fully healthy, maybe, and I hate to be that guy. I don't know. But who knows, man? That's interesting.
And it's not they don't know his potential because they use him as a decoy, so you know what he's possessed. And even that, he's still the second leading receiver on the team on a down year. So what are we doing?
True. He's got the talent. I also think on his end, he also could get a little bit better in some of the fundamental stuff, especially now that they're asking him to play other spots. I think he needs to develop. I think last year we got a little too, I get overboard with like, oh, the splash plays. But if you really watch him, there's a lot of things that he can fine tune just like everybody else. But KJ, we got to get out of here. I don't want to run overboard, man. Good hearing from you, man.
All right, man. Y'all take care. Be blessed.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Be easy. Good deal. It's been a fun one here on the show today. Big thanks to everybody. Chase Behind the Glass, all our listeners, Title 9.9, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. Got to be quick here. So make sure you guys are back here tomorrow because we will do Prediction Friday and put a bow on the whole Georgia matchup with a lot more information and breakdowns right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. We will see you guys tomorrow.